carefully. A night like this is very important. One of the things that has helped me in life is my ability to collect prophetic utterances. So there are, I've sat like this on numerous occasions where what you will classify an ordinary service, but my heart was open and God visited me with a vision, visited me with a mandate, visited me with a word. Now, the body of Christ today is such an attractive body, and also it's such an addictive thing. Sometimes to come to church is very addictive, you know. Once you leave here, there's just so much love in the body of Christ. Well, take that back. There's so much love in Gateway Chapel, right? There's so much love that it can easily be addictive. Whenever you come to church, you are excited, you are happy, you know. But I want to encourage you to, I want to charge you and also encourage you to understand that attending a church service is not, it does not equal to having an impact. Repetition of attendance or frequent attendance does not equal impact. Impact is when you hear something for the first time or something hits your spirit and you go, ah, I caught that. And so that also tells me that your spirit man has to be open. So I want to encourage you to have your spirit man open for a night like this. Secondly, a night like this is a night you document and you go back and revisit. There are messages, right? Sitting down in a normal church like service like this that was preached, that I received in my spirit, that guided me for over 20 years. Right, one of them I can still remember very clearly. I was sitting down in a church service in a local church way back in my home country, and our pastor and spiritual father preached a message from Isaiah chapter Psalm 82 that said, "I have said, you are gods and children of the Most High God." Right, and if you do not subscribe to this, right, it says you will die like men, right, and not like one of the princes. So that was just a regular church service on a Wednesday service that message was preached and it just impacted my spirit. I left that service a different man. I left that service a different man. This was way back. This was in the early 90s. Again, fast forward 1997, here in the UK, I was in a church, regular church service, and the pastor preached a message from Genesis, and I talked about how Joseph went from being in the pit, all right, to the palace, and he described the pit as PIT, which means Prime Minister in Training. There was just something about that definition that impacted my spirit man, and at that time, I was living in a one room. I was living in a room in a house. I, my family, and we're living in a room in a house, sharing one bathroom and one toilet joint with eight other families. But there was just something in that message that day that really imparted my spirit. I left that service that day a different man. My prayer for you today is that you will leave this service a different person. In the name of Jesus, you will leave this service a different person. So I am a collector of prophetic utterance and prophetic words. You know why? Because the Bible makes me understand that the word of God will not return unto him void. If that word is released, right, it will never return to God. So I collect them. I pray about them. I keep their journals. I think about it. And for me, they become a promise that I eagerly await for their fulfillment. It's so interesting that over the years, every year, one promise comes to pass in my life. Amen. So the word of God is like a seed. A prophetic word is like a seed. You receive it. You may not see it. You may not see it. Your natural mind may not comprehend it, but I want to challenge you to store it in the garden of your heart as a seed. One day it will sprout. That's why I encourage you to keep it. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One day it will sprout, it will spring forth, and all of a sudden, your life will take a different dimension. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me this evening to Genesis chapter 41 from verses 46 to 49. Genesis 41, 46 to 49. And then also look at a supporting text from Exodus 33. So I want to share with you what the prophetic word that God has given to us for the next 7 years. And then also, I want to share with you the things that you need to do to align yourself with this prophetic word. Amen. Genesis 41, it says, Joseph was 30 years old. And this is what I'm anointing you into today. Yeah, praise the Lord. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. You will go throughout. You will go through all the land of this nation in Jesus' mighty name. I said you will go through all the land of this nation in Jesus' mighty name. The Lord will promote you. He will increase you. He will perfect all that concerns you in the name of Jesus. In no distant future, your name will go on from city to city. Your amen is under attack. I said your name will go on from city to city. Now let me tell you how that will work. Because sometimes you may say amen, but you may not understand the context. So let me give you an example. Many years ago, I was working for a Fortune 500 company, and they posted me to go work for a particular client. So one day, I looked at the company. They were having a challenge, and then the Holy Spirit just dropped it to my spirit and said, "Why don't you just offer to organize a free workshop for them?" I said, "Free workshop?" I said, "I'm a contractor. I know they pay me very well, but." I shouldn't give them any extra. And then the Holy Spirit said, "But why don't you offer to organize a free workshop?" And so I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, "So what do you want me to teach them?" He said, "I should call the workshop Confidence Building Workshop." So they've just installed a new system, right? And my job was to support them through the process. But I realized that there were people in that organization, they were afraid of computers. Right, in spite of the fact that they have spent multi-million pounds, right, on a new rollout or systems and process. You know what I'm talking about, you brilliant people. And so, and then the Holy Spirit said I should call it a confidence building workshop. I said, confidence building workshop. These guys, they are, you know, just look at their car park full of Ferraris and Lamborghinis. What are you going to tell a confidence building workshop? I said, well, at your word, I will do so. So, I booked a meeting room. And I said, well, I'm going to be running a free confidence building workshop the next day. So if anybody wants to register, right, just send me an email and I'll be there for 1 hour, an hour and a half or 2 hours to run this confidence building workshop. I said, so during this training period, I will address your fear of computers. I will address your fear of change. I will address and you can ask me any question you want to ask me regarding the new system or whatever the new process and system that you guys are rolling out. And so, but what shocked me was that the people who emailed me, right, emailed me back to tell me they want to attend were all directors and senior executives. I said, wow, this is very interesting. So I started panicking. Because I thought maybe one assistant manager will say, oh yeah, you know, or one officer will say yes. But it was their executive directors and their senior managers, executive directors and directors they all say, yeah, okay, yeah, I want to be part of that. So they came, they had a good time. I was able to just train them. And then one of them said, you know what, this is so good. Why don't we just get to do the same thing all throughout the city? Anywhere we have an office, we just go in there, spend the same time 2 hours, and then train all our executives. That is how your name will go throughout this nation. Amen. Amen. So I said I should bring that to context, because when you hear your name will go throughout the city, what does that mean? I don't know. And so from all around the UK where they had offices, my name just went round. Wow, there's this guy called Eddie. There's this guy called Eddie. So someone wrote, I said, wait, what's your name? I said, my name is Eddie. Oh, you're the guy. That will be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, you're the guy. Oh, I had lunch with one of the directors and they mentioned your name. Oh, you're the guy. Oh, you're the guy. That will be your story in Jesus' mighty name. So I see your name go around this nation in Jesus' mighty name. So the Bible says, bring back my scriptures. It says, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, in the 7 plentiful years, from tonight, I am entering 7 plentiful years. In these 7 plentiful years, the Bible says that the ground brought forth abundantly. That will be your portion in Jesus' mighty name. In the next 7 years, you will... Now, it says the ground... That is, the labor of your hands will bring forth abundantly. You will have storehouses. You will have savings. You will have increase. You will have not just enough to eat, but enough to spare. In the next 7 years from this night, in the name of Jesus. Bring up my scriptures. Next. Yeah. It says, so he gathered up all the food you will gather up. In the name of Jesus. He said he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt. And then he laid up. He gathered, he laid up. So you will gather, you will store. Savings will no longer be a problem for you in Jesus' mighty name. You will gather, you will store. Now you may be in a place right now where you think that you are struggling. You may be in a place right now where your reality is far from your dreams and your experience. That will end from this night. In the name of Jesus. You will gather, you will store up. He said you will store up in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields. Every area of your life will have a gathering. Every area of your life will have surplus, will have increase. You will eat and be satisfied with the fruit of your hands. In the name of Jesus. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Praise the Lord. Next verse. So Joseph gathered very much grain. He gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea. You know, when he read something like this and you are poor, it is very difficult to believe. When you are just an assistant manager and someone is telling you you will be a CEO, it's very difficult to believe. But the thing about a prophetic word is this: God does not need you to perform. The prophetic word does not depend on your integrity. It depends on the integrity of God. The things that God told me when I was in a cow farm without light, without heating, they have all come to pass. And I must confess, there are certain things that God told me about my future, and I looked at myself and I shook my head and said, no, this is not possible. But thank God that God does not need me to fulfill his word. Thank God that God's prophetic word does not depend on my integrity. God's prophetic word depends on God's integrity. When God says it through a tested vessel, be sure it will come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. As what the Bible says, until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. You know, every time I tell Pastor Bola, I say, you know, Bola, God has blessed us immeasurably. The reason why we say so is because we know how we arrived in UK. I know what I brought in. I know what I have now. I know when I came in alone to meet my wife and a pregnant wife and a toddler. But we have more than toddlers today. We have spiritual children, not just here, but in cities and countries beyond there. So that's called an immeasurable blessing. God will grant you immeasurable blessings in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So this is the order I want to anoint you into today. That today will mark a new day in your life. Now, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. But 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, you will call me and say, Pastor, you know what? You said so. And so somebody went to Ghana and visited with one of my spiritual sons in Ghana. So this son called me and said, Pastor, you won't believe. He said, do you remember XYZ? I said, no. Ah, he said, Pastor, he said, he's very comfortable now. He said, but we're having a conversation. He said, he came on holidays. So we're having a conversation. And he said, I was in the service one day when Pastor Eddie preached a certain message. And he said, that message is the foundation of my wealth today. So that message is the foundation of my wealth today. I pray that today you will encounter something that will be the foundation of your prosperity and the foundation of your future in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So how do we get there? How do we walk in this? Well, there's only one way we can walk in this. There's only one way I have walked in the prophetic world. I want to share this with you tonight. Amen. Genesis 33 from verse 12. The Bible says, Then Moses said to the Lord, Exodus 33. It says, and Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Come on, say grace. He said, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. Verse 14. He said, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Verse 15. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight? It's very interesting. This leader was talking about grace, 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 grace. It means grace is the secret for progress. So verse 16 says, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight? Come and tell your neighbor, I will find grace in his sight. I will find grace in his sight. He said, except you go with us, so we shall be separate. Your people and I, so we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Come and say, show me your glory. Verse 19 says, then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live. And the Lord says, here is a place by me. May you find a place by God in Jesus' mighty name. And you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. May God cover you with his hands in Jesus' mighty name. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, for my face shall not be seen. Praise the Lord. The presence of the Lord is very special. And I have learned this over the years. It's one of my favorite topics. The presence of the Lord is very special. 5 minutes in God's presence can give you something that an entire life of labor cannot give you. How do we tap into these next 7 years? I want to pray for the presence of the Lord. I want to pray for the presence of the Lord. Listen, if God is not with you, you will labor in vain. If God is not with you, your effort can be frustrated. If God is not with you, your harvest can be stolen. So, the presence of the Lord. I want you and I to make his presence a priority for the next 7 years. We have already committed our lives to Jesus. Now that we are saved and we have committed our lives to Christ, I want us to follow through by making the presence of God a priority in our lives. So I want to share with you seven things his presence gives you. Seven things. And this is to encourage you to be hungry for his presence. Hungry for the presence of God. This is to encourage you to be conscious of his presence. This is to encourage you to always ensure that you carry his presence. It is also to charge you not to be carried away with the world or carried away by your friends, but to be carried away by the presence of the Lord. Come on, say his presence. Someone say his presence. The presence of the Lord is powerful. You know, it contains so many things. Can you imagine if you are in the company of someone, say your natural father or your natural mom or someone, a father figure who is very, very comfortable and very wealthy. You know, when you pull up in a shop, you don't get worried. You don't. You know why? Is it because you know that the person whose presence you are in is heavily loaded? Amen. Praise the Lord. I am yet to go out with any of our sons, and then they are worried about who we pay for what. It's never an issue. You know why? Money is never an issue because there is someone in their presence. Amen. So if you understand the presence of the Lord, it's something that you will hunger for in your spiritual journey. And I'm telling you, if you can key into this message, the next 7 years is very short. 7 years is, I've just spent 31 years in Christ. 7 years is very short. 7 years is very short. We've been pastoring this church now for 16 years. And all of a sudden, 16 years, I'm asking myself, where has the time gone? You know, the ones that we used to see off to school many years ago, they now drive. The ones that used to say, oh, can you please one for me? They now drive, they now come. I mean, do you know what I'm talking about? So 7 years will just come and go. So I want to make up your mind to invest in searching and fulfill and ensuring that the presence of God is with you and with you always. Amen. Number one, what does the presence of God give you? Number one, the presence of God gives you grace and empowerment. His presence gives you grace and what? Empowerment. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 14. Grace and empowerment. The grace you need for the things you need to become is in the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 and 4. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So the knowledge of God is what I'm supplying this tonight. I'm telling you that you need his presence to become the man and woman he wants to become in the next 7 years. So that is the knowledge. Now, so the grace is in his presence. Grace and empowerment is in his presence. Possibilities happen in God's presence. Possibilities happen in God's presence. You can sit in his presence, and at the end of any service or at the end of your worship time, at the end of your prayer time, you can leave his presence with grace and empowerment that you cannot account for. Empowerment. You know, I was sharing with someone recently. I said, knowledge is overrated. I said, knowledge is overrated. Search, well, if you need knowledge concerning anything, I said, you, what do you do? Google it. I was sharing with a couple that were counseling. I said, you are about to get married. I said, listen. I said, without getting married, you can write a book on marriage. Hey, you can write a book on marriage. Just Google it. Visit 10 blogs. Right? Download, that's how to write a book on marriage. Right? So visit 10 blogs. Download the content of 10 blogs. Read through and then rewrite whatever it is they have written in your language. It is called curation. It's called what? Curation. In other words, you can read it and then interpret that thing any way you want to interpret it, as long as it is not verbatim. 10 of them, 3,000 words, you are an author. So knowledge is overrated. Google has destroyed it. YouTube has finished it. There's barely anything on any subject matter you can't find on YouTube. So, does that give you the power to become? No. So the fact that you have written 10 books on marriage, does that mean that you have a great marriage? The fact that you have written 10 books on raising children, does that mean that you can raise godly children? No. The fact that you have written 10 books on business, does that mean, how many of your professors in business school are entrepreneurs? How many of your professors in business schools are actually entrepreneurs? How many of them have turned £1 into £10? And they are professors. So knowledge can be based on frameworks. Now you can become an expert just by reporting. You can become an expert just by being a researcher. I'm not saying I said so. I am saying that this is what the man who ran the business said. Do you understand? But in his presence, he gives you the power to become what you know. In the presence of God, is grace and empowerment. Grace is supernatural ability to put force and reality into what's between your ears or into what your spirit has absorbed. Does that make sense? That's why you must labor to spend time in his presence. It should come before your friends. It should come before your work. It is an investment of time in his presence that will make your work fruitful in the next 7 years. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number two, in his presence is wisdom. What should I do? That is wisdom. What should I do? How should I do it? Should I do it by copying my friends? Should I do it because my friend says so? So, how can I solve this problem? In his presence is wisdom. How can I solve this problem? This challenge, how can I solve it? This child, how can I deal with it? How can I deal with the issue confronting this child? This marriage, how can I handle this marriage? Come on, say wisdom. Well, you see, you always find wisdom in God's presence. I want you to live here tonight seeking, Lord, how can I spend time in your presence? You cannot find wisdom in the library. No. There's no book that says this is all the wisdom of God. No. The wisdom of God is where? Is in his Bible that you get and you draw out by revelation. You cannot find the wisdom of God in a party. You cannot find the wisdom of God in a club. Now, you cannot find the wisdom of God in the company of your friends. No, you find wisdom in his presence. You find wisdom in his presence. You find wisdom. The wisdom of God is expressed through the voice of God. The wisdom of God is expressed through the voice of God. The voice of God for direction. So you need to. In the presence of God, there's grace and empowerment. Then there is wisdom, knowing what to do. Knowing what to do, brothers and sisters, terminates frustration. Knowing what to do. I've had the privilege of living in 3 countries. And I have started from the scratch in 3 different countries. It is the same principle. Sort out his presence, and his presence will sort out your issues. End of story. Praise the Lord. The wisdom of God resides where God is. The wisdom of God resides where God is. We are going to have fun on earth. We're going to have fun in the next 7 years. But listen very carefully. There are certain things that are non-negotiable. Your power base should be non-negotiable. And your power base is the presence of God. Number three. God in Christ, his power is in his presence. The power of God is in his presence. The power you need to do what you want to do is in his presence. The factor that is responsible for God's dimension is in God's presence. The factor, power is a factor. Power is that factor that is responsible for the kind of results that God gets. He's God. He's our God because he is a powerful God. That power is in his presence. And the one who spends time in his presence become as powerful as God is. So you see, these are things that you must invest in. The way you invest in your education, the way you invest in your work, the way you invest in your children, these are things that you must invest in for you to come into abundance and 7 years of prosperity and increase. Praise the Lord. And so the kind of result that you get from God, there is no human agent and there's no agency that can fabricate that kind of thing as well. At best, they will just try. You need assurance of his presence. That's why Moses said, we won't live here unless you go with us. I know the value of your presence. Number four, in God's, in his presence, there is restoration. If you look at your life right now and you think you have lost anything, in the next 7 years, you're going to recover all. Amen. I said you will recover all. Amen. You see, I said I have had to start from the scratch twice or three times in my life. And in those instances, I still recovered everything and I still measured up to par. So in his presence, there's restoration. That's why you don't spend time over anything that you have lost, whether it is in time or in money or in effort. No, just get into God's presence and then God will sort out the rest for you. Amen. Joel 2, 25 to 32. Joel chapter 2, 25. I know you know the scripture. It said, I will restore. Come on, say it. It said, I will restore. Come on, let's read on. I will restore to you. Let's read together. One, two, go. Okay, pause there. You see that? You see that? In his presence, there's restoration. He said, when I restore you, what do? You eat in plenty. You eat in plenty. And then you will be satisfied. And then you will be so satisfied, you will wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I praise the name of our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So it means even if you have lost anything, he will restore unto you. And the purpose of restoration is so you can eat in plenty. So in the next 7 years, I see massive restoration. I see restoration of time. You see, when I got born again 31 years ago, and I looked at what Christianity has to offer, and I said, ah, Lord. I said, why didn't I get born again from my mother's womb? I've lost so much time. And then God opened my eyes to Joel. And I said, wow, so you can restore the lost time. So I started praying. I said, Lord, from that day, God blessed me with the covenant of restoration. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number five, there's deliverance in the presence of God. 2 Timothy 4:18. There's deliverance in the presence of God. Say, what is deliverance? Where? Right? It says, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. It says, the Lord will what? Deliver me. That deliverance is in his presence. What can God deliver you from? One, God can deliver you from negative spirits, demonic spirits. God can deliver you from negative spirits. Just a couple of weeks ago, somebody came to me and said, oh, pastor, this is happening to me. This happened there today. That happened yesterday. Last week, this happened. I said, whoa. I said, you are under attack. Quickly, come here. Let me anoint you with oil. And then this is what you need to do when you're under attack. So God can deliver you from negative spirits. God can deliver you from negative influences. There are negative influences. For so many of you, there are enemies you call friends. There are enemies you call friends. Now, when I say enemies you call friends, now the people that you hang around with, they are not, naturally, they are not bad. But you underrate the power of the enemy. If Satan can enter into Peter and attempt to abort the destiny of Jesus, Satan can use anybody. And he can use your friend against you. It's so there's deliverance from negative influences. All your friend needs to do is say no. And what God has planted in your spirit can be aborted. All your friend needs to do is to look at you and say, well, hey, I don't see it that way. And that's it. I don't see it that way. And everything God has in stock with you can be aborted because your closest friend that Satan has possessed, they are not bad. Listen, among all your friends, do you know which one is possessed or which one is not? Now, can you vouch that all your friends are under the influence of the Holy Spirit 24/7? Can you vouch? That all your friends at all times, they are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Can you vouch? You can't vouch. So his presence can deliver you from negative influences. Praise the Lord. Your amen is very interesting. So deliverance is not just from demons. No. Deliverance can, there's also, you can be delivered from misinformation. Misinformation. Negative factors. Negative perspectives. And negative perceptions. You can be delivered. You know, it's very interesting where something happened just last week. Was it on Friday here? How many of you know the wristband yellow, green, red, blue. And so we've had this wristband for years. Those wristbands represent fun, friendship, fellowship, family. So someone in the car park. Oh, pastor. Now, are you in support of the LGBT? I said, what does that mean? What kind of question is that? Why are you asking me? And then she went, oh, no, I'm just asking. I'm not saying. I said, yeah, I'm trying to find out what is the basis of your question. And then she went, your wristband. I said, so what's wrong with it? Totally oblivious that what I have on me has the potential of sending the wrong message. What do you have on you that is slowing you down right now? What do you have on you that does not represent you? I chose them myself. I have had them for years. In fact, it's the last set we have in this church, and I wear them proudly. I keep them by my bedside because it reminds me of God's vision for the church. What do you have on you? Who are you associating with that does not represent what God has? So God used that question to deliver me from misrepresentation. Number 6, in his presence, your faith is lifted. Hebrews 11:1. And faith is. He said, what do you say? Say now, faith is what? Hebrews 11:1. So your faith is your ability to believe God. Your faith is your ability to believe God. Bring up my scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 1. By faith, we understand. Okay, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So your faith is your conviction that God will do what he says he will do. Faith is nothing but your conviction. Now, conviction only comes in the presence of God. Now, there are so many decisions I have undertaken in the past that came out of my worship time. There are so many things I have done that came. One day I was worshiping the Lord. This was year 1999. I was worshiping the Lord and I was just thanking him right in his presence. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you need to resign and go contracting. I said, what? Look, you can't tell me that. Because this company, I am determined to turn 60 in this company and I must walk away with their golden wristwatch. Because I have spent time as a traffic warden, now I said, risk, I'm not taking that risk. But I heard the instruction. 1999, he said, you need to go contracting. Leave your company and go solo. I said, no. I said, I've heard about this contract thing. 3 months on and off. I said, but we have bills to pay. I said, no, this cannot be God. This cannot be God. But I know that voice. May you hear the voice of God. I said, may you hear the voice of God. Amen. And so that's how I started praying, interceding, spending time in his presence, and then God gave me the faith to do it. I never looked back. That same voice came again. This time, it was 2007, right? And the church was already going on, and we were in Malta, and God spoke to me very clearly. He said, when you get back to England, he said, resign and go full time. Now, again, it was in worship time. Was in worship time. So faith comes. There are certain things that you want to do. If you think about them outside the confines of his presence, you can panic. You can panic. You can abort your mission. And there are so many people who have aborted their missions. There are so many today who have aborted their mission because they did not conceive and incubate that idea in the presence of God. The presence of God carries it's the womb for faith. So faith is ignited in his presence. Praise the Lord. And the last thing that you get in his presence is growth. Growth. Supernatural growth. Supernatural growth is what you get. Numbers 17. Numbers 17. Supernatural growth. In the next 7 years, I see you grow supernaturally in the name of Jesus. In the next 7 years, I see you grow supernaturally in the next 7 years. People will look at you and say, oh, I used to know this person, but look at how God has promoted them. Amen. And so look at that. And read this story in your time. The Bible talks about the rod of the rod of Moses that budded. Aaron's rod that budded. And you and I know that for anything to grow, right, it must have, number one, it must be on the ground, it must have contact with the earth. Number two, it must have direct sunlight. But the Bible talks about the rod of Aaron. And so the Bible says that the rod of Aaron, let's look at the scripture. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, get from them a rod from each father's house. All their leaders are according to their father's houses, 12 rods. Write each man's name on his rod. A rod is just nothing but a dead wood. So a rod means a dead wood. And it says, verse 4 says, then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. So that means he's saying, place this dead wood in my presence. Place this dead wood, this thing that is not working, place it in my presence. Listen very carefully. This thing that has no life, place it in my presence. This marriage that has no life, place it in my presence. It says the tabernacle of what? Of meeting before the testimony. These things are in the presence and a symbol of the presence of God. But what happened? The Bible says that overnight they came back and Aaron's dead wood had sprouted. It means life came out of what was dead because it was placed in the presence of God. It then showed that the Bible says it then showed Aaron as an approved man of God. Now, when you are approved of God by pursuing his presence, listen very carefully, anything that you consider dead will come back again. Rise to your feet as we pray this night.